Shabbat shalom, everyone. Welcome to Beit Gan Eden. We are going to be doing parasha number 12, which is Vayechi. And today, Jot Wiseman will be doing the drash. And so, if you would like, we can stand or stay seated and let's sing. I think it is Shabbat.
Shabbat
is it?
Shalom.
No, it's Shabbat shalom. Here we go.
Shabbat shalom. Okay. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat 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 shalom, Shabbat 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 shalom, Shabbat 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 shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat 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 shalom.
Shiru la donai shir Shemo, b'tru me'yom le'yom Yeshuato, shiru l'Adonai, shir chadash. Sing to the Lord, sing a new song. Oh, sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Sing a new song. Bless his name and proclaim from day to day his salvation. Shiru l'Adonai, shir chadash. Shiru l'Adonai, kol ha'aretz. Shiru l'Adonai, shir chadash. B'tru me'yom le'yom Yeshuato, shiru l'Adonai, shir chadash. Shiru l'Adonai, baruch shemo. B'tru me'yom le'yom Yeshuato, shiru l'Adonai, shir chadash. Shiru l'Adonai, shir chadash. Shir Hadash.
Hine Matovu Manai Shevet Hafim. Yeah.
I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep.
Moshiach. Ben David. Adonai Tzidki. Adonai Elohecha b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha u'b'chol me'udecha ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha before and then you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all your mind, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And upon these two commandments and the whole law, love your neighbor, love your God. They are hard, they are hard.
For Yehovah is one, and there is one mediator between Yehovah and humanity, Yeshua the Messiah, himself human, who gave himself as a ransom on behalf of all, as providing protection to Yehovah's
good. Still on mute.
Rob.
Muted now.
Well, I'm not touching it. What am I? Yehovah is one, and there is one mediator between Yehovah and humanity, Yeshua the Messiah, himself human. A unity in him by singing the Shema.
Shema Israel, Yehovah Eloheinu, Yehovah Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod Malakuto Leolam Vayed. Hear, O Israel, Yehovah Elohim, Yehovah is one. Blessed be his name. His glorious kingdom is forever and ever. Amen. And you shall love Yehovah your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And Yeshua said, love your neighbor as yourself. All the prophets and the prophets are dependent on these two mitzvot. Yeshua the Messiah, he is Lord. Amen.
I know why. Is that better?
Yes.
The little screw at the top, I just screwed that down a little bit. It's not on mute. Well, I'm not touching it. Maybe it's electricity in my body. I'll take it off my body. I told you I was on full power. Okay. I'll try again. So welcome to everyone. Welcome to everyone online, especially to Kathy in California, to Minister Ellie Shaver in Trinidad, Tobago, Michelle and Joshua in South Carolina, Brenda and Kevin in Pilgrim, Kentucky, Kathleen in Kentucky, Victoria in Qatar, also Michael and family in Florida. In Australia, welcome to you, Heather, in Perth, to Annette, Chris, Michael, Diana and family, Jan and Betty in Adelaide, to Katrina, welcome to you in Port Pirie, to Lucia in Victoria, welcome to Ivan and Lucas in Victoria, Linda and Leah and family in Bega, to Jan in Sydney, also to Kerry and David in Tamworth, to Sue in Maxville, Deborah in Casino, also welcome to Rachel, Ivory, Malachi, Micah, Gabriel and Zambia in Balambul. Let me know when you move on to Benalbo. Also to Roseanne, Bonnie and Rafia in Queensland, Emma in Gladstone, Stacey in Gatton, Judith in Ipswich, Joanna at Sandstone Point, Hanani and Sandor in Fernvale, Cheryl and Colin in Maidenwell, Vivian, Day and Daniel at Scarborough, and Melody in Sandgate, welcome to you, to Joe, Lonya, Yola, Yamina and Ella at Kalanga, Carol and Nick in Brisbane, Harry in Brisbane, Philip in Brisbane, Haley in Brisbane, Ingrid in Brisbane, to Isabel, Auntie and Jacob in Brisbane, Jeremy in Brisbane, Richard on Russell Island, Don in Canoobia, Kelly in Beanlea, Wendy and Peter in Logan, Sean and Michaela at Jimboomba, Casey in Upper Coomera, to the Robinson family, Daryl, Rona, Shana, David, Isaac, Connor, Faith and Gabriella at Coomera, Naomi at Oxenford, Jeff in Surface Paradise, Mary Ann, Faye, Carol, Erica, Melissa in Surface Paradise, Joy, Lisa, Raywin here on the Gold Coast, so welcome to you. Also, we've got no children in the room today, but there are children listening online, so we'll still bless the children. Abba Father, we thank you and praise you for our children. We pray that you'll make the boys like Ephraim and Manasseh, that you'll give them the dew from heaven, richness of this earth and everything they need in abundance. We lift up the girls to you, Abba, and pray that you make them like Sarah, Rivka, Raquel and Leah. They'll be blessed in every area of their lives. They'll delight on your Torah and meditate on it day and night. Abba, we pray that each of these children become like trees planted by streams. They'll bear their fruit in its season, their leaves will never wither, and everything they do will lead to success. Let us pray together. Heavenly Abba, preserve these children for their fathers and their mothers. May they be led into a life of obedience and faith through the care of Hashem Elohim. Blessed are you, Yahweh of Abraham, Yitzhak and Yaakov, who watches over these precious children of your servants. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. No, that was, didn't come through. Okay, so remembering next week we will not be meeting here. We will be meeting at the, we'll be live streaming the service and running it from home. Also, Friday the 24th, is that still on? At Shab and Shab's place, we'll be having a Mishpachah dinner on the 24th of April, on the 24th of December. That's this Friday. And so arrival 5:30. Please let Shab know if you're coming, and you can ring her. The number's in the newsletter. And please bring a plate of food to share. The men's monthly dinner at this stage will be Tuesday. The first Tuesday will be the 4th of January at Westfield Coomera. I'm not too sure where you'll be eating. I know you can eat in food courts, but I'm not too sure what restaurant you'll be eating at there. But I'm sure we will find out before the 4th of January. And the next ladies' morning tea will be on the 13th of January. Even if it's being held in my home, we will do something. Okay? I haven't heard from the orphans this week. Now, in the newsletter, we've got new restrictions for the apartheid vaccinated, unvaccinated rules in Queensland. We've got the new updated COVID checklist in here for you. Now, that list came out on the 15th of December. Even though there are many revoked places, you must still be very wary where you visit. I think at this stage you should not go into places where they're showing a green heart, because I think the police are fully aware of that and they will be going into that very early in the piece and booking people and fining people. So please be wary of that if you are unvaccinated. But we do have a message in here that we received that from a QC, which is an ex-judge, to enter a shop, and if you enter a shop and you refuse entry because you can't show them your vaccinated certificate or you don't have it on your phone or whatever, and you're not wearing a mask or you're not jabbed, never defend your position. Just ask to speak to the manager or the owner in a very polite way. And when the owner comes to speak to you, you just ask if you could have that refusal put in writing, please, so that you can give it to your solicitor. And that we have not known any person that has been rejected entrance into anywhere when they have used that method. And so permission was always granted. So you just got to be very calm. May I have that in writing, please, so I can give to my solicitor, is all you need to say. If you're unmasked and whatever and you've got medical exemption, you can say, I'm medically exempt. They can't ask for that. That is illegal to ask for that. The rest of the information is on a report by Dr. Joe McCullough as well as Dr. Peter McCulloch, and the ivermectin dosages and etc. etc. Now, I have read this morning as well that Japan has stopped all vaccinations in Japan and are using ivermectin only. So it will come. It will come to Queensland eventually, I'm sure. Come to Australia. But the reason they stopped the ivermectin and the hydroxychloroquine is because if they have that available, they can't give the vaccine. So that's the newsletter this week. Let us pray for our people, Israel, the Yehovah's people, Israel. Abba Father, we thank you that you are Yehovah's of Oats, the Lord Yah of hosts. And as believers in Yeshua HaMashiach, we lift up our brothers and sisters to you this day, no matter where they might be in the diaspora or it's Israel. Abba, you faithfully preserved your people, Israel, through so many tribulations, whether it's from captivity in Egypt and Babylon, right through to this very day. And yes, we are in tribulation this very day. But Abba, whenever your people have called on your name, you have delivered them. Violence has been perpetrated through terrorist attacks in the diaspora and in your promised land this week. And Abba, we cry out to you for your protection over all of your people as these conflicts continue. Abba, we thank you that you remember your covenant with your people. And we know from your word in Yekeskel that your people will live in the land which you promised your servant Yaakov, that they'll live in complete security and safety. And we also know, Abba, that this applies to the people who are dispersed this also applies to the lands your people have been dispersed into at this time. So we claim this word for them as well. Abba, we pray for your healing power to be on those suffering post-traumatic stress disorder, caused in any way by the terror in which they live daily, especially those in southern Israel, those in the United States this week from the areas that have been devastated through storm and through hurricane. And Abba, we just pray that you'll be with them, and especially those, Abba Father, affected by the many wars that your people in the diaspora have been called up to in the Middle East over the past 20 years. Abba, we also pray for the salvation of our brothers and sisters, no matter where in the world they may be living. Your word tells us that you want none to perish. And we know from your word in your Yekeskel that you take no pleasure in the wicked person dying, but take pleasure in them turning from their wicked ways, humbling themselves, repenting of their sins, and making a 180-degree turn towards you and obedience to your Torah. And we claim that for them today. Abba, we pray that you'll send your Ruach HaKodesh to have an encounter with them, as this is the only way you can heal them and bring peace to your promised land. Abba, we know that it is your plan for all of your promised land, from the Euphrates River to the Vadi of Egypt, to be restored. Your word says your people will live in the land you gave their ancestors, that you will be their Elohim and they will be your people. And we know, Abba Father, that it is your plan for all of your people, Israel, to be called to your promised land in your perfect timing. We pray against the agenda of mankind to cause people to go there under man's will and not yours. Abba, we pull down the strongholds of the enemy through anti-Semitism, which is increasing in the diaspora, and we pray for the protection of all your people, no matter where they live on this earth. We pull down the strongholds of the enemy over your holy land, and we ask you break the power of Iran leaders, Hamas, Fatah, Hezbollah, the Muslim Brotherhood, as well as Al-Qaeda operatives. We break the power of the evil one who continues to work at wiping Israel and your people off the map. Abba, we lift up Pastor John and his family of orphans through his ministry of Adonai Child Rehabilitation and Kalamio Salagaing District of Myanmar. We thank you that Pastor John, his wife and family, and all the 16 orphans are safe at this time. We thank you for the continued praise of worship on you on Shabbat. And we pray for their continued protection, for their health, and for all their sustenance need to be met, be it food, fresh water, clothing, education, both spiritual and academic. Abba, you know their needs and their situation, as well as the situation in their country at this time. We pray that normalcy will return to their country very soon, and we ask that you'll be with them to nurture and protect them, especially during this military lockdown that they are going through at this present time. Abba, we pray that you'll give them the assurance that no weapon formed against them will prosper and that you are in complete control. We ask this in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Adonai and our Saviour, who is the light of the world. Amen. Well, as Malachi said in the beginning of the service, we are reading from Parashah 12, Vayechi, He Lived, and we'll be reading from Bereshit, or Genesis 47:28 to 50:26. The Haftarah prophets will be read from Malachim Aleph, or 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. The Ketuvah HaShelekin, the writings of the apostles, we're reading from Acts chapter 7, 9 to 16. We'll also be reading from Messianic Jews from 1st and 2nd Peter. So let us pray for the word. Baruch Atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam, Haheh Bekah Banu Mikal Ha'amin, Venatan Lanu Et Torato. Baruch Atah Yehovah Natein HaTorah, B'Shem Yeshua Mashikenu Ha'ol La'olam, Amen. Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the Universe, who has chosen us from all people and given us the Torah. Blessed are you, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the Light of the World. Amen.
Parashah 12, Vayechi, He Lived, Bereshit, Genesis 47:28 to 50:26. Yaakov lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. Thus Yaakov lived to be 147 years old. The time came when Israel was approaching death. So he called for his son Yosef and said to him, "If you truly love me, please put your hand under my thigh and pledge that, out of consideration for me, you will not bury me in Egypt. Rather, when I sleep with my fathers, you are to carry me out of Egypt and bury me where they are buried." He replied, "I will do as you have said." He said, swear it to me, and he swore to him. Then Israel bowed down at the head of his bed. A while later, someone told Yosef that his father was ill. He took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Yaakov was told, "Here comes your son Yosef." Israel gathered his strength and sat up in bed. Yaakov said to Yosef, El Shaddai appeared to me at Lutz in the land of Canaan and blessed me, saying to me, I will make you fruitful and numerous. I will make of you a group of peoples, and I will give this land to your descendants to possess forever. Now your two sons, who were born to you in the land of Egypt, before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. Ephraim and Manasseh will be as much mine as Reuben and Shimon are. The children born to you after them will be yours, but for purposes of inheritance, they are to be counted with their older brothers. Now as for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died suddenly as we were traveling through the land of Canaan, while we were still some distance from Ephrat. So I buried her there on the way to Ephrat, also known as Bethlehem. Then Israel noticed Yosef's sons and asked, Whose are these? Yosef answered his father, They are my sons, whom Elohim has given me here. Yaakov replied, I want you to bring them here to me so that I can bless them.
Now Israel's eyes were dim with age so that he could not see. Yosef brought his sons near to him, and he kissed them and embraced them. Israel said to Yosef, I never expected to see even you again, but Elohim has allowed me to see your children too. Yosef brought them out from between his legs and prostrated himself on the ground. Then Yosef took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near to him. But Israel put on his right hand and laid it on the head of the younger one, Ephraim, and put his left hand on the head of Manasseh. He intentionally crossed his hands, even though Manasseh was the firstborn. Then he blessed Yosef, the Elohim in whose presence my fathers, Abraham and Yitzhak, lived, the Elohim who has been my own shepherd all my life long to this day, the angel who has rescued me from all harm. Bless these boys. May they remember who I am and what I stand for, and likewise my fathers Abraham and Yitzhak, who they were and what they stood for, and may they grow into teeming multitudes on the earth.
When Yosef saw that his father was laying his right hand on Ephraim's head, it displeased him. And he lifted up his father's head and removed it from Ephraim's head and placed it on Manasseh's head. Yosef said to his father, Don't do it that way, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. But his father refused and said, I know that, my son, I know it. He too will become a people, and he too will be great. Nevertheless, his younger brother will be greater than he, and his descendants will grow into many nations. Then he added this blessing to them that day. Israel will speak of you in their own blessing by saying, May Elohim make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. Thus he put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. Israel then said to Yosef, You see that I am dying. But Elohim will be with you and will bring you back to the land of your ancestors. Moreover, I am giving you the Shechem, more than your brothers. I captured it from the Amori with my sword and bow.
Then Yaakov called for his sons and said, Gather yourselves together and I will bless you what will happen to you in the Ahrit Hayamim. Assemble yourselves and listen, sons of Yaakov. Pay attention to Israel, your father. Reuven, you are my firstborn, my strength, the first fruits of my manhood. Though superior in vigor and power, you are as unstable as water. So your superiority will end, because you climbed into your father's bed and defiled it. He climbed into my concubine's couch. Shimon and Levi are brothers, related by weapons of violence. Let me not enter their council. Let my honour not be connected with their people. For in their anger they killed men, and at their whim they maimed cattle. Cursed be their anger, for it has been fierce, their fury, for it has been cruel. I will divide them in Yaakov, and scatter them in Israel. Yehuda, your brothers, will acknowledge you. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down before you. Yehuda is a lion's cub. My son, you stand over the prey. He crouches and stretches like a lion, like a lioness who dares provoke him. The scepter will not pass from Yehuda, nor the ruler's staff from between his legs, until he comes to whom obedience belongs, or until Shiloh comes. And it is he whom the people will obey. Tying his donkey to the vine, his donkey's colt to the choice grapevine, he washes his clothes in wine, his robes in the blood of grapes. His eyes will be darker than wine, his teeth whiter than milk. Zebulun will live at the seashore, with ships anchoring along his coast and his border at Sidon. Issachar is a strong donkey lying down in the sheep sheds. On seeing how good is settled life and how pleasant the country, he will bend his back to the burden and submit to forced labor. Dan will judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan will be a viper on the road, a horned snake in the path that bites the horse's heels so that its rider falls off backwards. I await your deliverance, Jehovah.
Gad, a troop will troop on him, but he will troop on their heel. Asher's food is rich. He will provide food fit for a king. Naphtali is a doe set free that bears beautiful fawns. Yosef is a fruitful plant by a spring, with branches climbing over the wall. The archers attacked him fiercely, shooting at him and pressing him hard, but his bow remained taut and his arms were made nimble by the hands of the mighty one of Yaakov. From there, from the shepherd, the stone of Israel, by the Elohim of your father who will help you, by El Shaddai who will bless you, with blessings from heaven above, blessings from the deep lying below, blessings from the breasts and the womb, the blessings of your father are more powerful than the blessings of my parents, extending to the farthest of the everlasting hills. They will be on the head of Yosef, on the brow of the prince among his brothers.
Benjamin is a ravenous wolf, in the morning devouring the prey, in the evening still dividing the spoil. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is how their father spoke to them and blessed them, giving each his own individual blessing. Then he charged them as follows, I am to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my ancestors in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, the cave in the field of Machpelah, by Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham brought together with the field from Ephron the Hittite as a burial place belonging to him. They there buried Abraham and his wife Sarah. There they buried Yitzhak and his wife Rivkah. And there I buried Leah, the field and the cave in it, which was purchased from the sons of Het. When Yaakov had finished charging his sons, he drew his legs up into the bed, breathed his last, and was gathered to his people. Yosef fell on his father's face, wept over him, and kissed him. Then Yosef ordered the physicians in his service to embalm his father. So the physicians embalmed Israel. 40 days were spent at this, the normal amount of time for embalming. Then the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. When the period of mourning was over, Yosef addressed to the household of Pharaoh, "I would like to ask a favor. Tell Pharaoh, my father had me swear an oath. He said, I am going to die. You are to bury me in my grave, which I dug for myself in the land of Canaan. Therefore, I beg you, let me go up and bury my father. I will return." Pharaoh responded, "Go up and bury your father, as he made you swear." So Yosef went up to bury his father. With him went all Pharaoh's servants, the leaders of his household, and the leaders of the land of Egypt, along with the entire household of Yosef, his brothers and his father's household. Only their little ones, the flocks and their cattle, did they leave in the land of Goshen. Moreover, there went up with him both chariots and horsemen. It was a very large caravan. When they arrived at the threshing floor of Atad, beyond the Arden, they raised a loud and bitter lamentation, mourning for his father 7 days. When the local inhabitants, the Canaanites, saw the mourning of the floor of Atad, they said, "How bitterly the Egyptians are mourning." This is why the place was given the name Avel Mitzrayim, there beyond the Arden. His sons did to him as he ordered them to do. They carried him into the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah, which Abraham had brought along with the field as a burial place belonging to him, from Ephron the Hittite, by memory. Then after burying his father, Yosef returned to Egypt. He said, his brothers and all who had gone up with him to bury his father. Realizing their father was dead, Yosef's brothers said, "Yosef may hate us now and pay us back in full for all the suffering we caused him." So they sent a message to Yosef which said, "Your father gave this order before he died. Say to Yosef, I beg you, please, forgive your brother's crime and wickedness in doing you harm. So now we beg of you, forgive the crime of the servants of the Elohim of your father." Yosef went into the when they spoke to him, and his brothers too came, prostrated themselves before him and said, "Here, we are your slaves." But Yosef said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of Elohim? You meant to do me harm, but Elohim meant it for good, so that it would become this day as it is today, with many people's lives being saved."
So don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. In this way he comforted them, speaking kindly to them. Yosef continued living in Egypt, he and his father's household. Yosef lived 110 years.
Yosef lived to see Ephraim's great-grandchildren, and the children of Manasseh's son, Machir, were born on Yosef's knees. Yosef said to his brothers, "I am dying, but Elohim will surely remember you and bring you up out of this land to the land which he swore to Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov." Then Yosef took an oath from the sons of Israel, "Elohim will surely remember you, and you are to carry my bones up from here." So Yosef died at the age of 110, and they embalmed him and put him in a coffin in Egypt. The time came near for David to die, so he commissioned Shlomo, his son, as follows, "I am going the way of all the earth. Therefore, be strong, show yourself a man, observe the charge of Jehovah, your Elohim, to go in his ways and keep his regulations, mitzvot, rulings, and instructions in accordance with what is written in the Torah of Moshe, so that you will succeed in all you do and wherever you go.
If you do, Jehovah will fulfill what he promised me when he said, if your children pay attention to how they live, conducting themselves before me honestly with all their heart and being, you will never lack a man on the throne of Israel. Moreover, you are aware of what Yoav, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, that is, what he did to the two commanders of the armies of Israel, Avner the son of Ner, and Amasa the son of Yeter. He killed them, shedding the blood of war in peacetime, putting the blood of war on the belt around his waist and the shoes on his feet. Therefore, act according to your wisdom. Don't let his gray head go down to the grave in peace, but show kindness to the sons of Barzillai and Gileadi. Include them with those who eat at your table, because they came and stood with me when I was fleeing from Avshalom, your brother. Finally, you have with you Shimei, the son of Gera, the Binyamini from Bahurim. He laid a terrible curse on me when I was on my way to Machanaim. But he came down to meet me at the Arden, so I swore to him by Jehovah that I would not have him put to death with the sword. Now, however, you should not let him go unpunished. You are a wise man, and you will know what you should do to him. You will bring his gray head down to the grave with blood. Then David slept with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. David had ruled Israel for 40 years, 7 years in Hebron, and 33 years in Jerusalem. Shlomo sat on the throne of David his father, and his rule had become firmly established.
Brihadasha Vayahi, Acts 7:9-16. Now the patriarchs grew jealous of Yosef and sold him into slavery in Egypt. But Jehovah was with him. He rescued him from all his troubles and gave him favor and wisdom before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who appointed him chief administrator over Egypt and over all his household. Now there came a famine that caused much suffering throughout Egypt and Canaan. But when Yaakov heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent our fathers there the first time. The second time, Yosef revealed his identity to his brothers, and Yosef's family became known to Pharaoh. Yosef then sent for his father Yaakov and all his relatives, 75 people. And Yaakov went down to Egypt. There he died, as did our other ancestors. Their bodies were removed to Shechem and buried in the tomb Abraham had bought from the family of Hamor in Shechem for a certain sum of money.
Messianic Jews, Hebrews 11:21-22. By trusting, Yaakov, when he was dying, blessed each of Yaakov's sons, leaning on his walking stick as he bowed in prayer. By trusting, Yosef, near the end of his life, remembered about the exodus of the people of Israel and gave instructions about what to do with his bones. First Kefer, 1 Peter, 1:3-9. Praised be Yahweh, Father of Adonai, Yeshua HaMashiach, who, in keeping with his great mercy, has caused us, through the resurrection of Yeshua HaMashiach from the dead, to be born again to a living hope, to an inheritance that cannot decay, spoil, or fade, keep safe for you in heaven. Meanwhile, through trusting, you are being protected by Elohim's power for a deliverance ready to be revealed at the last time. Rejoice in this, even though for a little while you may have to experience grief in various trials. Even gold is tested for genuineness in fire. The purpose of these trials is so that your trust's genuineness, which is far more valuable than perishable gold, will be judged worthy of praise, glory, and honor, and the revealing of Yeshua HaMashiach, him whom you have not seen, and yet you love, and in his faith you greatly rejoice with glorious joy which cannot be spoken, that you may receive the reward of your faith, the life of your souls. First Kefer, 1 Peter 2:11-17. Beloved, I beg of you, as wayfarers and as foreigners, depart from all these desires of the body that make war against the soul, and let your way of life be beautiful before all children of men, those who speak of wicked words of you, that they may see your beautiful works and praise Elohim in the day of examination. Submit to all the sons of men for the sake of Elohim, to kings and because of their authority, and judges because they are sent by him for the punishment of wrongdoers and for the praise of the workers of good. For it is the will of Elohim, and in his way, that by your excellent works you may shut the mouth of fools, for those who do not know Elohim, as free children, and not as persons who make their liberty a cloak for their evil, but as servants of Elohim. Honor every person, love your brethren, worship God, and honor kings.
Baruch Atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher Natan Anu Torah Amet V'Chayalom B'Tikenu. Baruch Atah Yehovah Naten HaTorah B'Shem Yeshua Mashikenu HaOl HaOlam Amen. Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the Universe, who has given us the Torah of Truth and planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehovah, Giver of the Torah, and the name of Yeshua, the Light of the World. Amen. Well, today we've got Jot coming to give us another prophetic message, which I can assure you is very good, because I've already read it. And he's done an awesome job putting it together.
Volume check is right. It's fine. It's good. All right. Shabbat Shalom, brothers and sisters. Before I start today's drash, I'd like to start by looking into an internal mechanism within our brains. It's called cognitive dissonance. Bring up the slide, please. In the field of psychology, cognitive dissonance is the perception of contradictory information
Relevant items or information include a person's actions, feelings, ideas, beliefs, values, and things in the environment. Cognitive dissonance is typically experienced as psychological stress when persons participate in an action that goes against one or more of these things. According to this theory, when two actions or ideas are not psychologically consistent with each other, people do all in their power to change them until they become consistent. The discomfort is triggered by a person's belief clashing with new information perceived, wherein the individual tries to find a way to resolve the contradiction to reduce their discomfort. This is the main problem that we all suffer from when learning Yah's word. Over the past 2,000 years, both Jews and Christians have bent and twisted Yah's word to fit their particular denomination. The reality is, Yah does not change, and it is us that have to remold, to be remolded in the likeness and similitude of Yeshua. It is us that needs to change our lives and to come into line with Torah, and not the Torah that needs to fit into our lives. Yeshua came to give us a living example of how we are to live our lives according to the spirit and the truth of Torah. Or as Shaul would put it in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, for you to prove what is the good and well-pleasing and perfect will of Yehovah. This is much more difficult than it may seem. The perfect will of Yehovah is that you would bring yourself into complete obedience with the Torah. To do this, we must all overcome our own cognitive dissonance. Next slide. We've just spent the last few weeks learning about Jacob's life. So today I'm going to show you about what the prophets refer to as the time of Jacob's trouble. Much of what I'm going to present to you today may differ greatly from what you have been taught about the history of the world and Yah's people. Remember what cognitive dissonance is. When an idea is presented that conflicts with your belief structure, you will try and bend the information presented to fit your theology or belief system. I implore you, become like little children for the next hour and try and see the history of the world from a different perspective. Let us start with a foundation scripture for understanding all of history, past, present, and future. It comes to us in Amos 3:7. Surely Yehovah your Elohim does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. Within the Hebraic prophetic narrative, all of history has been pre-recorded. Let me say that again. Within the Hebraic prophetic narrative, all of history has been pre-recorded. We must try and understand the history of the world through this narrative and not from what we have been taught through the current Babylonian system that we live. Today I'm going to look at what the prophets refer to the time of Jacob's trouble. I'm going to focus on two parts of this week's Torah portion. The first I actually covered in the last time I told a drash, and it's from Bereshit or Genesis 49:10. The scepter shall not part from Yehuda, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. The second is from Bereshit or Genesis 48:19. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. I covered this first scripture in depth during my last drash, like I said. The scepter or Torah giver will not depart from Yehuda until Shiloh comes. In other words, we are to pay due respect to Yehuda as to his position of authority with regards to Torah until we return to the Mishkan or the tabernacle in the wilderness. This second prophecy is much more difficult to translate over time. Yah is constantly going over these two tribes through his servants, the prophets, over and over again. Ephraim, Yehuda, Ephraim, Yehuda. Well, today I'm going to show you how this fits into the history of the creation and the word. Let's take a deeper look at Bereshit, Genesis 48:19. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He shall become a people, and he also shall become great. But truly his younger brother, Ephraim, shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become Melo Hachgoyim, or the Gentiles. Now this prophecy should start jumping off the page at you, as the Greek scriptures are constantly talking about the Gentiles. Let's take a look at what this prophecy says and how it fits into the context of the world and what the prophets call the time of Jacob's trouble. When we study the shadows of Jacob's life, we can begin to understand how Yah uses the prophets to paint a picture of history and how it was to unfold. Jacob states in Bereshit, Genesis 32:10, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant. For I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two camps. So according to Jacob, or Jacob, he was two camps. This makes sense, as we also know that Jacob had two wives, Leah and Rachel, who bore Yehuda and Joseph respectively. Out of Joseph comes Ephraim. Leah is prophetically Yehuda, and Rachel is Ephraim. Next slide. These are some of the major events of Jacob's life, and thus the major events during the time of Jacob's trouble. As I said, the first wife was Leah, from which comes Yehuda. The second wife was Rachel, from which we get Joseph or Ephraim. He had a diversity of sheep, which were every different speckled spot, much like the speckled different nations and races under Yehovah. The changes of the wages multiple times was a time of great deception, and it culminated in a change in name from Jacob to Yisrael. Yah does not change ever. None of his prophets ever added to or took away from his Torah. Every prophetic utterance can be brought back to an idea first raised in Torah. This is why all the prophets are in perfect alignment with Yehovah. They will only ever expand on Torah, being careful not to add to nor take away from it. The time of Jacob's trouble comes to us first through Jeremiah 30:4-10. And these are the words of Yehovah, spoke concerning Israel and concerning Yehuda. For thus says Yehovah, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man does travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man on his hands, on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be dissaved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, says Yehovah of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off your neck, and will burst your bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve Yehovah their Elohim, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Therefore fear not, O my servant Jacob, says Yehovah, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. Wow, what a beautiful picture. Did you catch it? A time of great distress, as a woman in travail. And Yah will deliver us out of it. Today I'm going to show you how this is coming to fruition in our days. It gives us hope as we watch this world descend into utter darkness, that Yehovah is fulfilling the last of the prophetic events of Jacob's life, so that we can leave this Babylonian system behind and walk into the millennial kingdom. At the culmination of this time, David, our king, will be raised up to us, and we will be free from the bondage of this oppressive system that we live today. Okay, so let's take a look at the history of Israel. Next slide. After the time of Solomon, the kingdom of Israel was divided into two, the house of Israel in the north and the house of Yehuda in the south. Yehuda had the temple, and the house of Israel had Shiloh, which was erected in Ephraim. We read that it was Jacob himself that said he was two camps, and yet here we have it unfolding in history. Jacob's life was full of tribulation. He struggled in his faith, and thus his walk. He even admits as much in Bereshit, Genesis 47:9. And Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not obtained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage." Few and evil, he says, the days of his life have been, and thus he did not obtain to the years of the lives of his fathers in their pilgrimage. Thus, the time of Jacob's trouble is filled with tribulation and disobedience. This is a parable for the disobedience of Yehuda and Ephraim for the last 2,000 years. The kingdom was divided into two camps. Yet Yah allowed for a time for the two kingdoms to live in together in relative harmony until Yehovah warns his people that he will break this brotherhood in Zechariah 11:14. "Then I will cut into my other staff bonds, that I may break the brotherhood between Yehuda and Israel." The house of Israel continued to operate Shiloh, the tabernacle that was in the wilderness, regardless of being continually warned by Yah that they were being disobedient in doing so. Led by Ephraim, the house of Israel engaged in all sorts of profane activities that was against the Torah, including the worship of Moloch and Baal. Eventually Yah had had enough, so he spoke to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 3:6-8. "Yehovah said also to me in the days of Josiah the king, 'Have you seen what backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up on every high mountain and under every green tree, and there played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, return to me. But she did not. She did not return. And her treacherous sister Yehuda saw it. Then I saw that for all the causes for which backsliding Israel had committed adultery, I put her away and gave her a certificate of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Yehuda did not fear, but went and played the harlot also.' Yah divorced the house of Israel. To be divorced from Yah is a judgment of death. You will notice that it was only the northern kingdom that was divorced. There is nowhere in the entirety of Scripture where Yah divorces Yehuda. Not one prophet anywhere. Let me say that again. There is nowhere in the entirety of Scripture where Yah divorces Yehuda. Not one prophet anywhere. Yah confirms this in Isaiah 51. Thus says Yehovah, "Where is the certificate of your mother's divorce, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? For your iniquities you have sold yourselves, and for your transgressions your mother has been put away." There is some confusion within the body of believers with the difference between putting a wife away and a certificate of divorce. There are many reasons within Torah where a husband would need to put his wife away for a period of time. Not all of them are for disobedience or for adultery. Yah sent Yehuda away a number of times for her disobedience, but never gave them a divorce. If you live in the land and don't run it according to the Torah, it will eventually vomit you out, as it did to Yehuda many times. Moshe gives us the statutes for divorce in Devarim or Deuteronomy 24:1-4. "When a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes, because he has found some uncleanness in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, and sends her out of his house, when she has departed from his house, and goes and becomes another man's wife. If the latter husband detests her and writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, and sends her out of his house, or if the latter husband dies who took her as a wife, as his wife, then her former husband who divorced her must not take her back again, back to be his wife, after she has been defiled. For that is an abomination before Yehovah, and you shall not bring sin on the land which Yehovah your Elohim is giving you as an inheritance. Once the house of Israel started worshipping Baal and Moloch, they had taken upon themselves a new husband, and thus Abba could never take them back again. Yeshua was trying to clear up this confusion around divorce when he spoke in Luke 16:18. Everyone putting away his wife and marrying another commits adultery, and the one marrying her put away from a husband commits adultery. See, to put away your wife is not divorce at all. If you marry someone who is put away, you are still married to the first husband, and thus he just committed adultery. Yehuda, even though they were put away, they were never actually divorced. They repented and were eventually allowed into Yah's land. And then along comes Yeshua the bridegroom. As Yeshua is the son of Abba and not actually Abba, as such he is an eligible bridegroom for the house of Israel or Ephraim to be married to. Yeshua says it himself in Matthew 15:24. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, or in other words, Ephraim. Yes, Yeshua came for the house of Israel, or Ephraim as you like, otherwise known as the Gentiles. This brings us back full circle to this week's Torah portion in Genesis 48:19. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly, his younger brother Ephraim shall be greater than him, and his descendants shall become the Melo HaGoyim, or the Gentiles. We all struggle with identity in this world. Biblically, if you believe in Yeshua ben Joseph, then you are Ephraim, or the sons of Ephraim, and you are Hebrews. Alright, off to a slightly different topic, but still completely relevant. How many olive trees are there? Well, according to Zechariah, there are two olive trees in Zechariah 4:1-4. Now the angel who talked with me came back and woke me as a man who is awakened out of his sleep, and he said to me, what do you see? So I said, I am looking, and there is a menorah of solid gold with a bowl on it, on top of it, and on the menorah seven lamps, with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one on the right side of the bowl and the other on the left. Yes, that's right, two olive trees either side of the menorah. This is my favorite section of the prophets, and has been my backdrop for all my presentations. Why? Because of this next slide. This is a depiction of what Zechariah saw. Yes, that's right. Two olive trees, one of Yehuda and one of Ephraim. And in the middle, Mashiach. The olive tree of Ephraim was cut down when she was divorced from Yah through Jeremiah. Yeshua confirmed that there are two olive trees in John 17:6. I have manifested my name, your name, to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, or Yehuda, and you gave them to me, Ephraim, and they have kept your word. And then again in John 10:16. And other sheep, Ephraim, I have, which are not of this fold, Yehuda. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, the Torah, and they will be one flock and one shepherd. If you shema what Yeshua is saying here, he says that there will be one flock and one shepherd. This is future tense and not present tense. Yet in Yeshua ben Joseph, we have a new tree for Ephraim. This was prophesied by Isaiah in 11:1. Then a shoot will spring up from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. Yeshua allows Ephraim to become whole again. He is the root and the foundation from which Ephraim has grown into a new tree. Once we have this understanding, other parts of the prophets will literally jump to life. Like this one in Isaiah 54:1. Shout for joy, O barren woman, who bears no children. Break forth in song and cry aloud, you who have never travailed. Because more of the children of the desolate woman, Ephraim, than of her who was a husband, who has a husband, Yehuda, says Yehovah. The children of Ephraim outnumber the Jews significantly. I will show you how this works a little later. First, two camps, then two olive trees, and now two wives. It's literally everywhere once you start opening up your eyes to it. Yeshua confirmed this, again, with his parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15:11. Then Yeshua said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger son, Ephraim, said to him, Father, give me my share of the estate, so that he divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son, Ephraim, got everything together and journeyed to a distant country, and he squandered his wealth with wild living. After he had spent all he had, a severe famine swept through the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to the citizens of that land, that country, who sent him into the field to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his belly with the pods the pigs were eating, but no one would give them to him, a thing. Finally, he came to his senses and said, how many of my father's hired servants have plenty of food? But here I am, starving to death. I will get up and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still in the distance, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son Ephraim and embraced him and kissed him. The son, Ephraim, declared, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, quick, bring the best robes and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us feast and celebrate. For this son of mine, Ephraim, was dead and is alive again. And he was lost and he is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son, Yehuda, who was in the field, and as he approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what was going on. Your brother, Ephraim, has returned. He said, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older son, Yehuda, became angry and refused to go in. So his father came out and pleaded with him. And he answered his father, look, all these days I have served you and never disobeyed a commandment of yours, that you never gave me even a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son, Ephraim, of yours has squandered your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. Son Yehuda, you are always with me, the father said, and all that is mine is yours. But it was fitting to celebrate and be glad, because this brother Ephraim of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. There is a day when these two trees will become one again. But this event has not happened yet. It's written about in Ezekiel 37:19. Say to them, thus says Yahweh your Elohim, surely I will take the stick of tree of Yosef, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his companions, and I will join them with it to the stick or the tree of Yehuda, and make them one stick or tree, and they will become one in my hand. I put the stick tree up there because the Hebrew word can be translated either as stick or tree or both. So that's why I put it up there, because Ezekiel would have had sticks in his hand, so they were sticks, but prophetically they were trees. Now back to the history of the world. Let's take a look at the statue of Daniel. Next slide. The head of the statue of Daniel is Babylon. The chest and arms of silver is the Medo-Persian Empire. After this came the waist of brass of the Grecian-Macedonian Empire. Interesting. It was Alexander Pol Pot who conquered by assimilating the culture of the land. This is a trait that was carried out. Is it back on? Yep. And the Roman Empire. The mystery is, what is the feat of iron and clay? Well, with all things, it's the Torah, it's that will tell us what the answers are. Jeremiah confirms who this clay is in Jeremiah 31:9. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says Yahweh? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. This is confirmed by Isaiah in Isaiah 64:8. But now, O Yahweh, you are our father, we are the clay, you are our potter, and all we are the work of your hands. The call of the last days is to come out of her, first recorded by Jeremiah in 51:54. Come out of her, my people, save your lives, each of you, from the fierce anger of Yahweh. And in Revelation in 18:4, then I heard a voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues. The inclination here is his people are somewhere where he does not want them to be. The context of these scriptures is Babylon. The plague is not COVID. It's this vaccine thing. Pushed on us by a Babylonian Egyptian medical system that believes that they are trying to protect us from it. Your protection comes from Yahweh. Do not fear. It's written that you should not fear him who can kill the body, but him who can kill the ruach. With this in mind, clay is the house of Israel, or if you like, Ephraim. Next slide. With the advent of Yeshua, Ephraim became clay again. And shortly after Yeshua's ministry, the Roman Empire was being torn apart from by the So what did Rome do? They merged Babylon with the Hebrew Ephraim. And so we have the final kingdom, Christianity. Ephraim was now hidden within the Christian framework. This maintained up until around 20 years ago, when the prodigal son woke up in the pig's den, that's Babylon, and started the trek back to the father's house. The great awakening is happening, and they are coming out of her, prophetically. Daniel elaborates on these toes and gives further strength to this argument. In Daniel 4:1-4. And as the toes of the feet are partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong, Catholicism, and partly divided, Protestantism. As you saw the iron mix with clay, so the people will mix with one another, but will not hold together more than iron mixes with clay. It's interesting, last week I was practicing this with my wife, and she's like, but Daniel says it's toes of the feet. And I was meditating on it all week, trying to figure out what Yah was saying. And he was telling me to look at the process of time. The statue of Daniel is the history of the world. And as you travel down from the time of Nebuchadnezzar, as you travel down the statue from the head to the toes, it's the progress of time. The feet, as I said, is the Christian Empire. The toes, the revelation he gave me was, this was the time of the Protestant Reformation. The start of Christianity was some 2,000 years ago, the Reformation was only 500 years ago. It's a process of time. As I said, the prophets recorded all of this before it happened. Whose job is it to bring these two trees back together again? Well, most believers in Yeshua would say that's Yeshua's job. Unfortunately, the scriptures disagree with that idea, and so does Yeshua. Let's look first at Malachi 4:1-6. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, when all the arrogant and evildoers will be stubble. The day is coming when I will set them ablaze, says Yehovah of hosts. Not a root or branch will be left of them. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in its wings. And you will go out and leap like calves from the stall. Then you will trample the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I am preparing, says Yehovah of hosts. Remember the Torah of my servant Moses, the statutes and ordinances I commanded him for all Israel in Horeb. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and awesome day of Yehovah, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Otherwise I will come and strike the land with a curse. Now this section of Malachi can be translated slightly differently to read like this at the bottom in Malachi 4:5-6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and awesome day of Yehovah, and he will restore the hearts of the father, Abba Yehuda, to the son, Yeshua Ephraim, and the hearts of the son, Yeshua Ephraim, to the father, Abba Yehuda. Otherwise I will come and strike the lamb with a curse. It's a prophet's job to speak Yah's word, yes. But they are also sent to correct the course of history. Yah says right here that it's up to Elijah to bridge the gap between Yehuda and Ephraim. You can try all you like to convince the Jews about Yeshua, and you may have some success. But in the end, it's Elijah's job to bridge them together, to bring them together. Yeshua himself confirms that this job of joining the two trees together is a job for Elijah in Matthew 17:10-11. The disciples ask him, why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Yeshua replies, Elijah does indeed come, and he will restore all things. Yes, that's right. Yeshua says that it's Elijah's job to restore all things. Most messianics come out of Christianity. With that, we all know that we have inherited lies and falsehoods. At this time of the year, it is a stark reminder of where we've come from, and it can at times be painful. You can grain heart that this is all prophesied in advance in Hosea 11:10-12. They will walk after Yehovah. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, the children will come trembling from the west. They will come trembling like birds from Egypt, and like doves from the land of Assyria. Then I will settle them in their homes, declares Jehovah. Ephraim surrounds me with lies. The house of Israel did deceit. Yet Yehuda still walks with Elohim and is faithful with the Holy Ones. Yes, we inherited lies. But you have woken up as a prodigal son in the pig den that is Babylon, and are making the trek back to Jehovah's house. You are Hebrews of the house of Ephraim, grafted in by Yeshua ben Joseph, your Mashiach. Next slide. In conclusion, there are two wives, two camps, and two olive trees. The first wife, Yehuda, the second, Ephraim. You are sheep of every type, creed, language, race, just as Jacob's flock was speckled and spotted. This Babylonian system has continually changed your wages, just as Laban did with Jacob, and have done this through the modern banking system. Christianity has deceived the entire world with their mixture of Babylon and Hebrew religion, just as Jacob's life was full with great deception. But just as Jacob passed over the Jordan and was renamed Israel, we too will be leaving in a greater exodus and become one nation under Yah again, Israel. He will bring us all back together again. How? Well, that's yet to be seen, and to be quite frank, it's above our pay grades. We must be faithful to the very end, so that we can be deemed worthy to inherit the kingdom of Yah. Any questions? No? Yeah, comment, questions?
I promised. I didn't.
Testing one, okay. Yes, I probably put should have put that background with the two trees and the menorah between it.
Yeah.
Because I know the menorah was fed from oil,
mm-hmm.
and that with the bowl, that they were surrounding the bowl, and the bowl was filled with oil, and that supplied that wicked fuel up to that. And I've never seen that. And I'm wondering where that came from, and the conception that it's not a flat menorah in that form that we see so commonly, as if it's a thing that's been carved on a wall. Representing it, but that image was just quite amazing to me. It sort of solved the mechanical process that's involved in having it all work.
Yeah.
So thank you. But where did it come from?
Where did the bowl come from? Oh, the actual picture itself. You mean the picture or the idea of a bowl? The picture.
Somebody expressed it very well.
So the picture, if you go back to the picture, it shows you where I got it from. It's called the Ministry of the Two Prophets. That's where I got the picture from. But it's actually written in scripture that there was a bowl there, so that's why they've done it that way.
Yep. So,
I love your questions.
So, the question I have is for you is that why did divorce the other side?
Yehuda.
Well, yeah.
Well, because Yeshua had to come through Yehuda. And if he was born in a divorced marriage, he's thus in sin when he's born. And he had to be spotless. So Yehuda could not be divorced until after Yeshua was born. And there's no prophet after them that says they're divorced. So they're still married.
Okay, you just confirmed what I knew, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Can I?
Yep.
I believe that the Messianic community that have come out of Judaism and of Christianity and going back to Torah is the beginning of them combining. So, because that's what's going to happen eventually, that both Christianity and Judah will be joined as one, and that's what we are. We are people of all different religions, and some are out of Judaism. And so that's just the beginning, and we're in a position where we follow only Torah, and we follow only the Word, and we don't follow the doctrines of man that have been added by both. So that's the beginning of what Elijah will do when he comes before Yeshua returns to bring them both together.
Yeah, like I said, you'll have some. You may have some success. Is that muted? You may have some success converting the Jew across, but ultimately the end job is that's Elijah's job.
Yeah.
And that's not to stop you from trying to do it, to talk to the Jews about Yeshua. And some of them may come over, and that's great. But that last sort of linking of the two, that's his job.
But the Ruach HaKodesh also does it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And that's what
it stirs within each person.
Yeah.
When you're talking to someone about Yeshua, even a Jew, and they get stirred and they start looking into it, then that's that process happening.
That's exactly right. And that's why when we started Beit Gan Eden, we were told never to bring people in. They had to be led by the Ruach HaKodesh.
Mm. And then once they're here, that's up to them whether they stay. That's the whole parable of the seed falling on different ground.
So it says it's going to be a great revival. So what Tamar is saying there will be a great revival through our children.
Mm.
So that will happen sometime in the near future. Yes.
Well, whether that happens before the kingdom is set up or after, when the millennial kingdom's in place, there is people that are coming into the kingdom from outside. It says the Torah shall go forth from Zion, and they'll be sent out to all the world to collect his people. So maybe the revival is after, because Yeshua also says that few it is that make it through that narrow path.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the start of it, like that's the few you're talking about tomorrow that get through that path at the start. Because there's plenty of inclination that those that are first through, there's a greater reward for those that bear through the tribulation, and then there's those that come through the tribulation and come in later. So whether it's before or after is, again, it's above our pay grades. We don't know. He knows. Like Yeshua said, he doesn't even know the time or the day, so these are things we don't need to worry about.
Yeah.
But they're interesting to talk about for sure. Any other questions? All right, let's start the Yeshua remembrance. Here the days are coming, says Jehovah, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Yehuda. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day I took them by my hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, because they, for their part, violated my covenant, even though I, for my part, was a husband to them, says Jehovah. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Jehovah. I will put my Torah within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their Elohim, and they will be my people.
See, Elohim is my salvation. I am confident and unafraid. For Yehovah Elohim is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Then you will joyfully draw water from the springs of salvation. Victory comes from Yehovah. May your blessing rest on your people. Yehovah Savot is with us, our fortress, the Elohim of Yaakov.
Baruch atah Yehovah, Eloheinu melech ha'olam. Hamatza lekem mini haretz.
Blessed are you, Yehovah, our Elohim, King of the universe, who has brought forth bread from the earth. Yehovah Savot, how happy is anyone who trusts in you. Give victory, Yehovah. Let the King answer us the day we call. I will take the cup of redemption and call upon the name Yehovah.
The cup of deliverance I raise in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. I call Baruch Atah Yehovah, Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Berei Pri Hagafen.
Blessed are you, Yehovah, our Elohim, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine.
Baruch atah Yehovah, Eloheinu melech ha'olam, Borei Meni Basami.
Blessed are you, Yehovah, our Elohim, King of the universe, who creates the various spices.
Can I get some people to come up and hand out the challah and do the spices? Also, there's an FBOS box up the back if you want to assist in the running of this ministry. Again, like we've said many times, none of us receive a wage or anything from this. It's a place running and the doors open. Mute again. It's working again. I'd just like to finish up in a bit of prayer. Abba, we just thank you for bringing us all together today and for opening our eyes to all the Word. And I pray that in the weeks ahead that you give us strength to withstand the wicked attacks of the enemy. This time is a stark reminder of where we've all come from and what we've been through. But we know that you give us strength every day. And I pray that you will make us like Samson, who said, just strengthen me this once more time. And do that each day and strengthen us so that we may go out there and wage the battle against the wicked powers of this world. Not with swords or weaponry, but with the words of your word. Give us strength to talk into people's lives at the right time so that you can have a great harvest and that more can come into your kingdom. And we ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Am I off mute? And I'll pass over to Tamara and Malachi to do the Aaronic blessing.
Yevarekaka, Yehovah Yishmereka, Ye'er Yehovah Panavaleka, Ve'ekuneka, Yisa Yehovah Panavaleka, Ve'asamaka, Shalom.
May Yehovah bless you and keep you. May Yehovah make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yehovah lift up his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Our Abba and Elohim of our fathers, we thank you for the joy and rest which we are enjoying on this Shabbat day. May the coming week bring gladness and peace, health and achievement. And like the fragrance of the Besamim, we pray the days ahead bring sweetness to our lives and the lives of our loved ones. May the peace which we are enjoying this day linger until we gather for Shabbat next week. We ask this in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Thanks, Jot. That was great. I really enjoyed that. Also, don't forget that we won't be meeting here next week, as we cannot get into the room because it's Christmas Day. They won't open the building. But we will be back here on New Year's Day. So we will be open New Year's Day, and they will be having a security guard down there for us. So I don't have to do that all day. And also, board members, don't forget there's a meeting tomorrow at 2 o'clock at Malachi and my place.
And also, all of next year, just as a reminder, and including on New Year's Day, we will be in...
F4.
F4 is the breakout room.
Well, that's where they were today.
Yeah, so that continues.
Throughout the next 12 months.
So we've got the F4 room right through till...
31st of December 2022.
So is there anything else?
No, I don't think there's anything else.
All right.
So Shavuot Tov, everyone. Have a great week. Hope it's better than the last one. I don't know what yours were like, but I'm looking for a better one this week.
In the newsletter, you've got the text referencing what to say about...
on page 5.
I'd like that in writing so I can give it to my solicitor.
That's in here.
That threat of involvement with solicitors seems to... they're saying in that that they basically apologise and invite them in.
So that's all. You've just got to be calm. You don't get standoffish. You just hold firm and say in a nice manner, although they're not letting you in, just say, please, may I see the manager or the owner? And when the owner comes, you'll say, look, can you please put this refusal in writing so that I can give it to my solicitor? Thank you very much. And they usually say, come on in.
And I'll just share something that, because I've been doing research with this chlorine dioxide solution, or CDS, and one of the things was that I'd read earlier that they'd had 130 plus young children or that had been cured from having
ASD,
autism.
Yeah, autism, which is autistic syndrome.
And so I was looking for what was the protocol, what were they using, and they had this, I can't even think of the pronunciation, but there was some weird other product that was taken along with the
CDS.
With the CDS.
Promectol.
And when I looked all the way through it, there's a whole lot of drugs that are linked on that, but the highest ranking drug that deals with that was ivermectin. Isn't that amazing? And ivermectin is a parasite killer and gets rid of the parasites. One of the things that COVID vaccine we're seeing does is it lowers the ability of the body to naturally get rid of parasites. And the parasites exude the poisons from their own body. That's just part of the way they work. If they exude the poison, and the poison causes the problems. And the CDS, to be effective, it goes into the lower bowel and it's done as an enema. And that just paralyzes them, and then the ivermectin flushes them out. It's part of that process. So it's that works
ADHD
perfectly together, and that's,
ADHD,
there's a whole
ADHD
array
of
things
sort of
that
things,
this
yeah.
stuff is useful for. The original version of it was MMS or Magic Miracle whatever.
Solution.
There's a whole lot of different things
solution.
That get caused, but mineral solution. And CDS is simply a way of taking that same product but giving the chemical reaction separate and having the gas get reabsorbed into water. And so the yellowy water that comes from that is the that doesn't have any of the anything like the negative stomach effects that can be associated with the MMS. So it's the same active ingredient, just a different way of administering it and producing it. And it's very simple to do. Okay. I have a question. Can we have the... That's up.
Okay. Last week there was a result, there was a court case last week in regards to a pub manager or owner who was fined $15,000 for accepting a non-vaccinated person into his business. And the result of that went to court. The court threw it out and said no one has any right to stop an unvaccinated or vaccinated person to go into a business,
yeah,
right? So it's a precedent being set now. So yes, these people should know that if they get taken to court, they're going to lose. You know, if they decide to take the wrong
that's
attitude.
That's why with saying if you can put that in writing so I can give it to my solicitor, they don't want a court case involved, yep. So they'll just let you in.
Yeah. Now the other thing too is what's very interesting, and I think I might have told you, is that ivermectin is obviously illegal. You can't get it anywhere. But if you buy a substance called wormwood, right, interesting name, that is ivermectin, right? It's in plant form, and you can buy it from Kogan.
From where?
Kogan.
Oh, Kogan.
Oh, Kogan.
Kogan, yes. Mm. I've already bought it.
My doctor did prescribe me ivermectin, so yep. I've got prescriptions for it. But whether I can still get them, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because that was before the ban, and yep. I've still got the tablets in my cupboard.
Yep.
And I haven't needed to use them.
I don't think you ever will, but because there's no such thing as COVID. But the ivermectin is actually a herb form.
Yep.
And it's legal to buy, and it works the same way as ivermectin. And you just take it in tablets, and it'll work the same. It'll kill the germs, the worms and all that sort of stuff in you. The other thing, the quercetin.
Quercetin. Quercetin.
Yeah.
I take that every day.
You can buy that from Kogan as well. It's $26 a bottle, and it's hydroxychloroquine. That's exactly what it is.
I know.
So
I take quercetin.
So we can all get ourselves
day.
Protected without even being worried about what the government's doing.
That's exactly right. I take it every single day.
So we've everybody's listening. Just go and get the wormwood, and we've got the chloroquine. You have to take that with zinc.
Cause we take zinc every day.
Yes, what I'm saying is, the zinc acts with that compound.
I heard it described. The zinc is the bullet, and the quercetin is the gun that fires the bullet into the cell, which kills the virus.
Exactly, it stops the virus from multiplying.
Yeah,
and it kills it. So we've already got the weapons there. And we don't have to live like the people outside who are scared and afraid. But anyway, we go back to the original thing is that there's no such thing as a COVID at all.
We know that.
Have no fear, little flock. It's your father's goodwill to give you the kingdom. Yes?
Just on that, with the wormwood, is quite often they use it's a triple, so it's clove, wormwood and black walnut hull, and they use that in parasitic medicine because it actually kills everything from the larvae stage right through from teenage to adulthood. So that's why naturopaths and that will quite often use the trifecta. So if you want clove, black walnut hull and the wormwood, and you have the zinc, and it's a powerhouse. It's amazing.
Right.
I've actually personally used it for a parasite. Yeah.
Fantastic. And interestingly enough, the chlorine dioxide solution, the breakdown product, when it finds an acidic thing or an anaerobic organism in it, it disassociates itself and then oxidizes that thing, which is like fire, because that's just you're adding oxygen so they are destroyed. It's also like rust. Rust is an oxidization of the metal. So it causes the oxidization of the nasties, whatever it is. And the breakdown products are oxygen and water. Oh no, common salt, sodium chloride. So that's pretty good stuff.
All we need is natural products.
All we need. Yah's in control. He always has been, right through this, and he will continue to be.
I touched the microphone in advance, I'm sorry.
Okay, we will let it go there. But
yeah,
all
Shavua
Tov, have a great week. It's online next week, back here in 2 weeks.
Testing 1, 2, 3.